Good morning. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that chapter we have been in for a little time now. New verse, the verse 27. The verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Of course, we're talking here about Moses. We have been considering, as the Lord has instructed us, how faith has been working in his heart and leading him toward leaving Egypt, forsaking Egypt, escaping Egypt, and heading for the promised land. And here we read that by faith, throughout the chapter you see it's faith that is at work. And that little phrase, by faith, is repeated again and again and again. Boys and girls, without faith, you can't go to heaven. Without faith, you don't know God. Faith is just believing what God says he has done. That's what faith is. It's believing God. It's trusting in God. And that's how Moses left Egypt. He believed God. He didn't believe all the things that were happening around him or what men were saying, like Pharaoh, but he believed God. That's the secret of life. Now, let me just remind you, boys and girls, as we start, that we're seeking to illustrate, picture. I'm trying every time I'm here to paint a picture. And to paint a picture of the life of some of God's great saints and how in their life there is shown to us how we can live safely and go to heaven. That's why God has recorded these things in the Bible. Do you ever wonder, why did God write the Bible? Well, here's why he wrote the Bible. Look up Romans and the chapter 15. And listen while I read the verse 4. Now here is a key verse in the Bible. A key verse. It explains so much of the Bible. For whatsoever. Now you know what that word whatsoever means. It means everything. If the teacher sent you out after break time, to gather up all the bits of paper and sweetie wrappings and whatnot that get left behind during break time. And if the teacher said, whatsoever is lying out there, gather it up. She means everything. Everything. You don't pass anything by. And that's what the word means here, for whatsoever, everything. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, before, were written for our learning. That's what God had in mind when he wrote the Bible. Your learning. There's something vital for you to learn in the Bible. That's why it's written. It's God's one and great textbook. God's great textbook. You have a school bag full of textbooks. Because man has never yet been able to write down everything you need to, or he feels you need to learn in one book. You've got to write another book and 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 you've got to stuff them all into your school bag. God wrote one book and it contains everything that we need to learn. We're written for our learning that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And there you have what reading the Bible does for you. Comfort. It comforts you. It gives you hope. It gives you hope. Oh, that you would learn this. Well, that's what we've been looking at. Some of the great saints of God, whose lives are recorded in the Bible, that we might learn from them. You remember I told you that the Lord described John the Baptist as a bright and a shining light. He was a lighthouse, in other words. And a lighthouse sends forth light to guide ships, guide them away from the rocks and from shipwreck. Well, God has lighthouses set up in the Bible, and we have been endeavoring to have a little look at some of them. Now, we looked at various ones, then we came to Hebrews 11, where there's a whole list of great saints of God, and we've been working our way through that. And as we come to this verse 27 today, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him that is invisible. Again, boys and girls, there's much there. Oh, there's much. First and foremost, note that Moses was not stopped from leaving Egypt by a fear
of Pharaoh.
Now, I've got to tell you that old Pharaoh was someone to be afraid of, in the sense that he had all power. He could do whatever he liked as king. He had shown himself to be a miserable, angry person. When Moses came to him and said, God has sent me to tell you that you are to let my people go, he didn't clap his hands and say, oh good, I'll let you go. No, very grumpily, he said, I will not. And he said that again and again and again. It says his heart was hard, like a piece of concrete. No softness in his heart, no gentleness, no kindness, no love, no mercy. Hard, and I'll not let you go. The spirit of Egypt had been seen in the slaughter of the boys when they were born. The slaughter that Moses had escaped. You remember that story? And that shows you the spirit of the king of Egypt. Showed you the spirit that was in the palace of Egypt. A hardness, a bitterness toward Israel. And Moses was well aware that as soon as we make a move to leave Egypt, the wrath of Pharaoh will be evidenced. It will be seen. He'll move in wrath against us. But that didn't stop Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. There would have been many people who would have given up all idea of ever leaving Egypt once they thought about the wrath of the king. They say, oh, no, I couldn't face that. I couldn't provoke him to wrath. I'll just put up with the situation as it is and I'll stay a slave. Many people would have said that, but not Moses. Now what can we learn from that? Well, when I saw this and read this, I thought of a verse that you find in Revelation. That's the last book of the Bible, and almost the last chapter. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, the last book of the Bible, and the verse 8. And here's what it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the place, that lake of fire. That is the place of eternal punishment to which rejectors of Christ are going. Now, we have here a description of those who reject Christ. And some of those mentioned here, well, we can understand them going to be eternally damned. Murderers, whoremongers, idolaters, liars. Yes, we can understand them all being sent into damnation. But did you notice the first person mentioned in that verse? But the fearful. The fearful. That's generally understood as referring to those filled with fear. Filled with fear. And there's many people miss heaven because they're filled with fear. Fear of what? Well, back to our text. God had promised a land to the Israelites that he described as flowing with milk and honey. That's a wonderful picture. It must be a wonderful land. And throughout the ages, God's people have looked upon that as a picture of heaven. The bounties, the plentifulness, the happiness, the joys of heaven. A land full of all that God can bestow upon a people. A land flowing with milk and honey. And God directed his people to the promised land. But there was this danger that threatened, that hindered them. The wrath of Pharaoh. And it says in our text, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. His faith enabled him to set aside all fear of Pharaoh and start for the promised land. Now, I'm back to what I said in reference to Revelation 21 verse 8, the fearful shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I would say, boys and girls, that the chief reason why men and women and boys and girls miss heaven is not because they're murderers or liars or idolaters or any of those other sins, but because they're fearful. What are the fearful of? They're frightened of what their friends might say.
if they got saved.
Frightened of what their friends might say. Their friends might laugh at them, make jokes about them, point the finger at them. And rather than face that, they give up heaven, not realizing that their fear of the friends and their reaction to them believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring them to everlasting ruin. The fear of friends, the fear of the world. If I become a Christian, I might never get a job. Nobody might employ me. If I become a Christian, what must my neighbor say? And the fear of the reaction of the world round about stops some people, most people, getting saved. Oh, while living, boozing and all the rest of it brings people to hell, but not nearly as many as the number of those who go to hell because they're fearful of what others might say. Can happen here in a Christian school. Boys and girls may well be challenged about the gospel here in this school. But you know, it stops them getting saved. No, it stops them coming to the Lord Jesus. What might my friends say? Those I see after school. They don't believe the Bible. They have no time for the Bible. I know they don't. I hear them taking God's name in vain. And I know that if I said I'm a Christian, I'd have to say to them, that's wrong, you shouldn't say that. And oh, what laughing there would be at me. No, I can't become a Christian because of them. No, it can happen here. Does it hold you up? Does it stop you getting saved? Is that what hinders you obeying God and stepping out on His side? The thought of what others might say. Well, just you remember this. That fear of what others say will bring you to that place mentioned in Revelation chapter 21 and the verse 8, the lake burning with fire and brimstone. But it didn't stop Moses. It didn't stop Moses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He wasn't going to be frightened by the king. And consequently, he escaped. That is, Moses escaped the difficulties and trials that he was enduring in Egypt. As a result of his faith and not fearing Pharaoh, he escaped along with those he led. The bondage, the afflictions, the trials, the awfulness of what life in Egypt was all about. He forsook Egypt, it says. That's what the text says. By faith he forsook Egypt. You know what that word forsook means? We don't often use it today, sure we don't. Although, we could use it today, for it very simply means that he left Egypt behind. He left Egypt behind. Turned his back on it, and under God's direction off he went. And you know, boys and girls, a Christian is someone who is leaving behind the troubles of this world. Now, I'm a Christian for a long time. I'll not tell you how long, because you'd think I'm very, very old, which of course I'm not. No, I have been a Christian for a very long time. And for a much shorter time, I lived as one who wasn't a Christian. And in that short time, I saw a lot of trouble, a lot of annoyance, a lot of vexation. But when I got saved, I left those things behind. And I can tell you that while there have been difficulties over the years that I have been a Christian, I have been delivered from the plagues and the tortures and the miseries that I encountered in that short little time of my life before I became a Christian. God delivered me. I turned my back on many things that brought nothing but heartache to me. And I, by God's grace, was marching away from them. I forsook those troubles. The day and the hour God saved me, and I'm heading for the promised land. And just as Israel, who left Egypt, forsook Egypt under the leadership of Moses, traveled until there came that day when they passed over the Jordan into the promised land of God. That's where the Christian's going. That's the journey the Christian's on. We have forsaken Egypt and we're marching to glory. That's why that little hymn came to my mind, and I feel it was the Lord. The Lord's merciful. He picks the hymns for me. He brings these hymns to me oftentimes. Well, last night it was in the middle of the night the hymn came to me. then the problem is I can maybe remember part of the chorus or a line or two in the hymn, but I can't remember the first line. And it's very difficult to find a hymn when you don't remember the first line. But the internet's a great help. And if I go onto the internet and type in the wee bit of the hymn that I know, sure enough, up it comes. Tells me the hymn. Even gives me the tune, if I only could read music. We are bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the home of the happy, the kingdom of love. Ye wanderers from God in the broad road of folly, oh, say, will you go to the Eden above? I wish I could sing, because if I could sing, I'd sing you the chorus and make it an appeal to you. Will you go? Will you go? Will you go? Will you go? Oh, say, will you go to the Eden above? Don't let the fear of man, the fear of the world, the fear of the devil stop you going to the Eden above. He forsook Egypt. He left it behind. He left it behind. Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter 1, the verse 23, for to depart and be with Christ is far better. One day that's what the Christian will do. Depart to be with Christ. But that is only for those who by faith trust Christ and start for heaven. Are you trusting him today? Have you put your faith in what he did at Calvary when he shed his precious blood to wash away sin? Have you put your hope and faith in the Lord Jesus? I hope you have. Oh, I hope you have. Let's bow in prayer, please. Our God and Father, bless the word to the boys and girls today. Oh, may they know that they're on the road to heaven, that they are leaving the world behind, but any who have not yet trusted Christ, please, Lord, may they hear the word of the Lord to them, saying, will you go? Will you go? Will you go to the Eden above? Speak to each one. Bless the school. Meet its every need today. And those who have needs and who belong, as it were, to the family of our school and have already been prayed for, we commit them afresh to thee in the Saviour's name. Amen and amen.